If we're to go back and look at this lineage of wisdom and what has happened through the ages, we can identify two key times in our history when the chain of knowledge that links our modern world with our ancient ancestors has been broken. Two great breaks in our chain of wisdom. And the first of those is what is called the Great Library of Alexandria. Now, I'm always amazed when I'm with live audiences and I ask people, I'll say, how many people have ever heard of the Library of Alexandria? And everybody raises their hand. And I say, how many know what was in that library? And rarely do I see more than two or three hands go up. We've heard of the library. We don't really know about what was in there, and I'm not surprised. The Great Library of Alexandria was destroyed by a fire from a civil war in 48 BC. It was created by the Greek Emperor Ptolemy I, and it was actually called a universal library, to the best of my knowledge. This is the first great library that was ever created for the sole purpose of preserving the information of human history from our very beginnings under one roof. The Emperor Ptolemy, he had the luxury of sending entire armies into all the known world, and their orders were to bring back a single copy of every text, every manuscript, every book that had ever been written, one copy to place into what was called the Universal Library to preserve the memory of mankind. Well, the library, as we said, was burned in the fire during the Civil War. However, before it was burned, the Roman historian Callimachus was given the job of cataloging what was in this library. And we do have Callimachus' records, even though the library itself was destroyed. Callimachus documented in the Great Library of Alexandria over 400,000 scrolls that he described as mixed. And I had to investigate a little further to understand what a mixed scroll really means. A mixed scroll means that there were multiple authors contained on a single scroll. So over 400,000 mixed scrolls were in the Library of Alexandria. Over 90,000 additional scrolls were what he called unmixed, or scrolls of a single author, and an additional 42,000 scrolls that were not associated with any author at all, for a total of over 532,000 documents that were lost in that fire. And while we don't have the documents today, what Callimachus says to us is that included in those documents were some of the most ancient Hebraic documents, ancient Phoenician texts, Egyptian documents talking about the optics of ground glass and the medicines of Egypt. The entire Greek library was contained in the Library of Alexandria. What we know is when this fire burned the library and this information was lost, we know that we lost tremendous amounts of information, and that was one of the first breaks in the chain of wisdom. The second great break came during the religious persecutions after the crucifixion of Jesus. What we know is this, that in the 4th century, during the year 325 AD, the Western biblical texts as we see them today did not exist. There was no nice, neat biblical text compiled into a book the way that we see today. There was a loose assemblage of manuscripts and documents. Some of them were poorly written. Some of them were redundant. Some of them were so mystical that even the scholars of the time had no idea what they meant. And they said, well, if we don't understand them, no one will ever understand them, so we might as well throw these documents out. So what the best biblical scholars of today will acknowledge is that at its very best, our Western Bible is incomplete. Let me ask a question. If you're listening to this, you probably have had the opportunity to read at least a portion of our Western Bible. Have you ever felt like part of it was incomplete? Have you ever read the book of Genesis, for example? In the beginning, not much was happening, and all of a sudden, a lot of things were happening, and it happens in a single paragraph. Have you ever wondered why that is? Or where are all the women in the biblical text? We know that women were alive 2,000 years ago and beyond, and we know that some of them were literate and they could write. Where are their documents? Where are their texts? Well, the answer to these questions, and this is part of the value of going back into some of our most cherished traditions, is that we begin to recover documents that were edited and lost. And while what we have today is good, our Western Bible, it's a good text. It simply is incomplete. And the best biblical scholars will acknowledge that. What we know is that in the 4th century, in the year 325 AD, during what is known as the Council of Nicaea, at least 45 entire books were removed from our modern biblical text. 45 books were removed, and the ones that remained were condensed and rearranged into the story that we have today. So when we ask ourselves, where are all the women in the Bible? For example, we know of the books that were lost, there was an entire gospel of the birth of Mary. The birth of Mary describing her lineage as an Essene master and her being raised in a wisdom that supported the mystery and the understanding of our relationship to the forces of nature around us for health, for healing, for peace, and survival. We know, for example, that there was not only one, there were two books describing the infancy of Jesus before he became the master as an adult. And to me, these books are fascinating. It's Infancy Book 1, Infancy Book 2. And they're fascinating to me because they describe a young male, and they describe a young boy in ancient times coming to terms with a power that lives within his body that makes him so very, very different from the other children his age and what it means to him. There are stories, for example, in the book of infancy of Jesus, Book 1, there's a story of Jesus playing with other children approximately his own age. And they're by a small stream, and they're fashioning small clay animals, small birds, out of the clay in the stream. And Jesus becomes frustrated, according to this text, because the animals are lifeless and they don't do anything. And he breathes life into these small clay animals, and they become animated, they become alive. And the other boys go home and tell their parents, and their parents get together with Jesus' parents and have a parent conference. And Jesus is helped to understand that he has powers and abilities that others do not have, and that there's a responsibility that comes with that. And from those kinds of stories, he learns that responsibility in his life. And for me, it makes him more accessible as a human, because he came into this world through the womb of a woman, and he came to terms with what his life meant to him, much the way we're asked to do today, through the trials and the challenges and the tribulations and the hurts and the joys of our lives. And without seeing these kinds of texts, we never get to understand that about the man Jesus. In the edited books of our Western Bible, there are an amazing series of documents, the letters of Herod and Pilate, a fascinating dialogue between Pontius Pilate, the governor who was responsible for the crucifixion of Jesus, and King Herod. And the correspondence begins immediately after the crucifixion. And I'll just paraphrase a little bit about what these letters are all about. Immediately after the crucifixion, Pontius Pilate wrote the letter to King Herod. And he said, in effect, Herod, I think we've just made a really big mistake. And Herod attempted to distance himself from the entire situation. And he wrote a letter back and he said, well, Pilate, what do you mean, we? He said, I had nothing to do with it. And the state of Rome had no interest in this man's death. That was a local decision. And it's a fascinating dialogue between the two men trying to come to terms with what they knew was a momentous and historic event. So I'm sharing these kinds of stories just to give an idea, some idea of how important it is now that we know information was lost and we're beginning to recover this information. This is the kind of thing that we're finding. At least 45 books were removed. We know some of them were removed completely and never seen again. They were stored in the vaults of the Vatican libraries, and we find them today in private libraries such as the Habsburgs in Germany. Other books were reserved for scholars only, such as the first and the second book of Adam and Eve, the Secrets of Enoch, the Psalms of Solomon. There are entire books that were written by Moses and Noah that we never get to see.